Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Ram trucks have always powered American freedom. Now with our Freedom of Choice pricing program, you can choose your offer, cash incentives, or employee pricing for all. Hurry into your local dealer today for details, because nothing stops America and nothing stops Ram. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Rams for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers and lessees will qualify. Restrictions apply. Not combinable with other offers. Ends 4/30/25. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Safety Third Podcast. If you would like extra episodes of the Safety Third Podcast, you can head on over to the Safety Third Patreon. Over there, we'll take your money and we'll give you more podcasts.
And there's games, there's hangout nights, there's show and tell.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun times.
I always forget to go to the show and tell because
I'm making you come to the next one.
I literally work 14 hours a day, Kevin. It's fucked up.
Yeah, well. Relax, hang out.
You know what I was doing last night? I was watching a show and programming at the same time.
Hmm.
Wait, isn't that just how you... That's just how you're supposed to watch a show.
Okay, so did the podcast start?
Wait, people just watch things and then they just sit there?
Yes.
No, you gotta be productive at the same time.
I veg out, bro.
Wait, guys. No, somebody sent us an intro. We have to listen to the intro first.
Like a musical intro for our podcast?
I think so. I have no idea.
We did ask
John
for
has
that.
It.
Good morning, gamer. Welcome to your daily dose of the Safety Third Podcast.
What are they saying? What's that?
I don't fucking know.
What is that? 18-month-old chicken nugget.
Chicken nugget?
What the fuck? This is like
Safety Third.
This is like three songs playing at the same time.
Okay.
That was great.
And it keeps going? Did you make that?
I did not. No.
What's Kevin's version?
Wow.
Oh, I guess, I don't know. Somebody made an intro.
In the Patreon Discord server?
Yeah. And I had some notes for them.
That wasn't the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Was it the best?
Oh, there's a bad version?
There's a better version. Oh, well, we'll save that for next week.
The non-Kevin version?
Wait, what do you mean the non-Kevin version?
Nigel, did you hear any of that intro?
I did. It was interesting.
That's
epic.
Not good.
Can you rate it for us, Nigel?
Give it a numerical value.
Quantify. I need to hear it again.
No,
John, don't you dare.
Don't play it. I don't think I can.
Go by memory. Gamer. Go by the vibes. Your daily dose.
Dude, intros are supposed to be like, they're supposed to be concise and awesome and fun and representative of the show, not a schizophrenic nightmare.
Yeah, I don't take any credit for that.
Okay. Then why does it say Kevin's?
I don't know. I'm saying I'm distancing myself from that intro.
All right. We got some complaints in previous podcasts that Kevin and I talk over Nigel. So I'm going to let Nigel take it away for the next 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, this time we're never.
I would
ever,
like to apologize to
we're,
Nigel.
We're so never going to cut him
we're
off.
We're not going to cut you off.
We're going to give you guys exactly what you want. Go. Yeah.
I don't have anything to
sorry,
talk
Nigel,
about.
I just want to say that I'm sorry for all the times I've interrupted you in the previous podcast. Okay, you can start now.
Wait, I have something to say.
Yeah.
If somebody takes this transcript of the video and they count like how many words each person says.
Where are we at? Is it even?
No.
No, it's probably me.
It's probably like exponential in this direction. God, I gotta stop doing that. People, dude.
I cannot believe that they took a very generic position of my hand from me.
Yeah,
they did that
multiple times.
Yeah,
and they put it together and insinuate that
if you think about that, it just in general, it's like the whole you know occurrence of Hitler. He removed the ability to move your arm
Nigel.
In certain directions. What?
Nothing. No, keep going.
You guys don't have to be weirdly silent. I say, and his little mustache hairstyle.
I know.
Completely. I mean, Not that I think that hairstyle has to come back, because I don't think it's objectively probably very good. But the fact that somebody could remove a hairstyle and a gesture to be so bad to do
you
that.
You have to pick
pretty
one.
Pretty impressive.
You pick one. The mustache or the haircut?
Wait, the haircut? Oh.
The haircut's pretty bad.
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I'm saying you have to have one. You have to wear one. It's either the mustache or the haircut.
Oh.
I mean, the haircut. What do you mean? The haircut's okay, I think. Because there's not that. It's just this. I'm looking at it now. It's just like a side sweep of hair.
That,
you can't like.
That's straight. That haircut's straight out of Big Bang Theory. Like one of the like
actually,
extremely autistic engineers. Like kind of. What's his name? It's not. Is it Sheldon? No, it's not Sheldon. Who's the one guy that has kind of the peckish face and the like kind of comb over hair? I don't know anything about Big Bang Theory.
I don't know either.
It's the side
shot. It's the blue shirt guy.
People always say I look like that guy.
Really?
Howard?
I think so.
Howard?
No, it's not Sheldon. It's
Howard.
Howard? How do you know the names of this? Do you watch this crap?
Oh, he's red shirt. Who's blue shirt? Oh, it is Howard. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, it's the blue sweater. Maybe? Or no, is it the red? I can't tell that John's got the picture at like 3 pixels wide. Now just clicking around.
Do you remember when zooming used to work on a web page, but now it just like resizes the web page and keeps it the same size?
They've taken everything from us. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about web development?
Well, that's a pretty big
Nigel, if you want us to talk about web development in this episode.
I don't know anything about web development.
I have started doing something recently, and it involves web development, but it also involves AI programming, and holy shit. All the conversations about AI, AI this, AI that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I've realized about AI and programming? When I program and when everyone else programs, what do you do? I don't know, Nigel, how much do you program? None.
Zero.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Loser.
You ask Google. And people that might have already done it before.
Yep. It is literally an uphill struggle. And very few people actually know what is happening behind the scenes. And the only reason they know is because they already went through the uphill struggle.
Yeah.
And what that means is AI programming is essentially perfect Google. It's a way better amalgamation of all the struggles that people went through. It gives me a lot less confidence in the entire world. Realizing that the entirety of programming is people just pecking at their keyboard until it works.
Yeah. But then, I mean, there's some people that actually know. They have like an intuitive understanding of
everything. When I program microcontrollers, the low-level programming, I know everything that's going on.
Yeah, but even you still know stuff, but you still have to go back and reference like, wait, what does all this do?
It's,
you know,
I can tell you exactly what, I can't tell you exactly what the CPU is doing because there's still like a level of, you know, compiling that happens down to machine code from C, but it's like, if I am turning on a register, if I am turning on a timer, I can tell you that this thing in the computer holds a value that increments every so many clock cycles. And once it reaches X number of clock cycles, but it's all really simple shit.
Yeah.
It's super simple. And when you start programming like more advanced stuff or web, like it starts to turn into this spider web from hell. Like, I've never done it before, and I never want to do it again. I mean, using like I say, AI programming has made it a lot easier because you can ask it questions in a much shittier way.
Yeah.
That when you're trying to, you know, search for something on Google, it's like, what do I call it? Do I call this a variable? Do I call it, like, a class? Do I call it, like, is it a, like, you know, it just, it's like.
And you know who's really bad at helping you with your problems?
Who?
Other programmers.
Yes.
They're the worst,
man. Better the programmer, the worse teacher.
Yeah. Look at the Arduino forms.
Yeah.
If you ever, like, I'm sure a lot of people have seen this before. Like, you have a little problem. Like, you go on the Arduino forums looking for an answer, and everybody's like, they're so mean and salty. Yep. They're like, number one, you didn't format your question right.
Yep.
Your images are too big. First off, you should go back and make a welcome post in the welcome page.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And it's
you
like,
don't have
oh
a flare,
my God.
Unflared swine.
Here's why I don't program.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle the forums.
Yeah. You don't have to look at the forums now, though. These big tech companies have gobbled all the forums up and turned them into a command
That's
prompt
true.
Where you just ask it questions.
ChatGPT, it's been good to me for research stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just being like to give one example, like little, I say little things, but basically, I've been trying to mass produce liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
And I did. And I made, I think, probably like 40 liters of it.
Wow.
And
that's a lot.
What's your power bill?
But the thing is, it's, I don't want to know. I ran it over the weekend and it's the winter and the temperature went up 3 degrees in the warehouse. it was pumping out heat. Actually, it went up 5 degrees. It was 25 C in the room. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. 80 something, maybe? 80?
It's a heat pump, right?
Yeah.
So you think it might get more efficient if it's cold?
Either way, what happened was that the Dewar I have it in, the big insulated container, is probably like the siphon tube I have is like 6 feet tall or 7 feet tall. And so last night when I turned everything off and I went to go siphon the liquid out and I tried to apply a pressure, it just didn't come out. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to do the calculations to find out how much pressure I need to push it out. So I gave up because for reasons, I don't want to overpressure the Dewar because I was afraid it would explode. But I went on ChatGPT and I just typed, how much pressure do you need to lift liquid nitrogen through a 3/8 inch tube 7 feet high? And it just does it. It's just like, oh, you need 2.5 PSI or something. And then it goes, but that doesn't, sorry?
The tube thickness wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. No,
that's a question you could ask it.
Diner.
Oh yeah.
And I did, and it said it didn't matter. It said 2.5 PSI, not counting losses from friction on the walls and stuff. And then it was like, do you want me to calculate the friction losses? I was like, sure. Then it goes, okay, to overcome that, you'll need like an extra 0.6 PSI. And I was like, wow, this is like, and guess what? I tried it. It was pretty accurate.
Pretty close. I feel
it was like,
yeah. So that means that that if you can put up to like 5 PSI into the container, nothing's really going to happen.
Well, no, like I was afraid because the Dewar's not made for that much pressure, but it needed a minimum of 3 PSI to get out. So I put 4.5.
Yeah.
I think,
and it worked.
I think we're really lucky. I think that we're not like the luckiest, but I think we were, you know what they say, born too early to explore the world, born too late to explore the world, which I don't think you want to do anyways, because you probably would have died of some horrible bacterial infection.
Yeah.
And then born too late to explore the stars or some shit, what do they say?
Early, yeah. Too early.
Too early to explore the stars.
Born too early to die in a foreign war.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Born too early to die in a space accident.
Too late to die in a foreign war.
Kevin, we still have time.
Born just in time to die in the foreign war.
That's so true. I think that we are so lucky because we got to live our like teenage years with the very like the fetus of social media, where it was an extension to our lives, not our lives, where it's like it's sort of taken over people's lives at this point. And I think that we got to experience like AI, you know, I would say tools
in the same
after
way
we already have learned a bulk of you know, the practical skills like in school. So you don't have the temptation of like cheating through assignments.
Oh yeah.
Using AI. But we've already done the assignments, so we've already learned, you know, some amount of things.
And since you've learned, you know like what questions to ask.
Exactly. It's like the perfect tool for somebody that already knows generally what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. ChatGPT and any of these other AI tools. I started using Claude, you know, 3.7 for programming stuff.
That's
a ChatGPT competitor.
Yeah, but okay, it's just called Claude. It's not like Microsoft
Claude is
or
the company, I think.
Okay.
I think I'm saying this right. I don't know. I just started using it a couple of days ago, but like I genuinely feel so appreciative that I'm able to have a foundation already where I don't feel like I'm not I'm not cheating, but like, I feel like I know what's going on and I'm able to ask questions and get answers, and I don't feel like I'm asking it to write the essay for me and then submitting it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm learning even more because I already have a foundation.
But I think that's important, because even like with the PSI calculation, basically you have to fact check it, right? Like, you can't just trust it. So you ask questions, kind of like what you said, where it's like, oh, can I what effect will it be if I made a bigger tube? And then you kind of like gauge its answer, and you just kind of prod it in different ways until you're like, okay, I actually trust its answer. But if you have no idea what you're doing, like it does lay things out, because it said like the height, they're like gravity, then you need like, you know, all these different, I'm like, okay, I could have done all this. It's just easier that it kind of compiles everything. The frictional losses and other stuff I probably couldn't do, but
fluid dynamics,
you still have to. Yeah, it's like, and it took literally like a minute for it to do the calculations.
Yeah.
But are you using like the research one?
Sorry?
The research prompt?
No, I wasn't. That's probably why it took a minute. But I do think that if you need that basis of understanding, otherwise you will just have it tell you something stupid and you just believe it.
Yeah. That's why I think it's perfect for programming. Like, I am doing stuff right now the past couple of weeks that I never in my wildest dreams would have tried to pursue because the learning curve is so steep with all the web dev. Like,
yeah,
programming stuff on a microcontroller is so much easier than web dev. Like, the nightmare spaghetti bullshit. I don't know what the fuck, how we ended up with this thing, but like JavaScript, HTML, the interactions between the two, to send information back and forth. It was like 4 hours trying to generate, because I'm trying to build a barcode scanner for like open source inventory. And you need to, you know, like use the, you know, I was like, oh, what if we have a camera version of a barcode scanner? Like, that'd be sick. You know, you just use your phone's camera.
Scan a QR code.
So, you know, we're like finding open source free libraries to do this. And then it's like, oh, if you're pulling the camera, if you're streaming the camera into the web page on a mobile device, it has to be HTTPS. It has to be a secure connection. And then it's like generating a certificate, but it's like generating kind of a temporary fake certificate so that it works, even though it gives you that warning, you know?
Yeah.
And that took like 4 hours.
Wow.
To do that. I think it would have taken me 2 days, 3 days to try to figure it out otherwise.
Yeah. And does it have it do it in HTTPS so other people can't like intercept your live camera feed or something?
Yeah, it's all encrypted. And so if it's letting the page pull camera data, it wants to encrypt it.
Yeah. But what standard is that? Like, why can't you force it?
Mobile device won't let you.
The mobile device.
The browsers won't let you.
Okay.
It won't even ask for camera permissions. It'll just say there's an error. But like all these little things of, you know, having you know, a script that's like doing what you would consider more actual code, and the HTML, which is the web page, and you're like making things and then passing it to the HTML. It's like none of it's compatible. It's all like band-aided together. And I'm like, how do people do this on a regular basis? This is horrible.
So it's like the JavaScript is doing the stuff, and then it like gives the information to the website, and you have to code the HTML so it can display, like
it makes like a holder,
it's like translate it for the web page.
Yeah, there's like this, like, imagine, you know, like the
like, here's this data, now the HTML is, how do I show this data?
Yeah, it's not like here's a variable, it's like here's a thing that somehow this thing can dump something else into that thing, and then the HTML can use it. Like, I don't really, like I said, I'm not an expert and I don't understand how this shit works. I'm not sure anybody actually understands how it works, but it's like the string maps, where like the strings going everywhere, where everything's like interconnected, and there's not like a clear flow of like, and then the variable goes here and then there. It's like everything is almost like kind of pointers ish where it's like, here's a thing, here's the idea of a thing, I'm gonna put it down here, and then the other thing comes over and picks it up. Just like spaghetti, actually, like spaghetti. It's anyways, I'm doing a lot of, it's being done by and then you just read
by the AI
it. Yeah, it's like having a perfect example for the stuff you want to do, and you just, you know, I've never felt more efficient in my life programming something that I'm probably underqualified to program. But then you just ask it a million questions, like, what does this do?
Yeah.
Explain to me every step of this. And then it answers it, and then you're like actually learning how stuff works without having to spend, you know, the 4 days to figure out how to, you know, make a certificate.
Oh man, remember when we pushed so hard to get a bunch of like programmers into college?
Yeah,
and stuff?
They're all this group of programmers is doing great. The future group of programmers, I think, is fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the power of AI is, especially in the realm of like programming and all that stuff, is no matter what, when you went to school, I think one of the most powerful things you learn is just, like I said before, how to process and apply information. So it's just like, I mean, maybe people have to focus more on that, but having a tool that can help you this much, I feel like that just, that's all you, I'm sorry, I'm not, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like I'm, but it's just like, I feel like I just said, it's like you, if you can process information and then navigate it, and ChatGPT is just the tool for that, I think that that is kind of what you want to go for.
Mm.
Versus trying to just like ram ideas down people's throat. Like, how do you solve this programming problem and this and this and this? You end up forgetting half of it. And all you really retain, if at least for me, for my university education, is kind of that problem solving mentality. Because all the little tiny tidbits in biochem that I learned, you just forget them.
I 100% agree about, if you are hiring somebody and you want them to have an engineering degree, it's not because they learned anything. It's because they made it through.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's like, I know, there's a level of competence. Yeah.
It's like they figured out how to solve enough of these problems to pass. It's like a great filter. Anyone that wants to see your grades, like any job that asks for your grades, is probably not a job you want to be at, because they're trying to quantify like your competence, when the reality is you're going to have to train this new employee.
Just making it through college, like just navigating all the, not even like the homework and stuff. Just
if you
signing
can
up
pass
for all the classes,
your
like,
engineering classes, you can be an engineer.
Yeah.
I feel like it goes back. It's kind of similar. Just, you know, obviously AI is massive and powerful, but just the idea of like, if you're trying to become a doctor, it's like you do have to memorize a certain amount of stuff, but at the end of the day, that stuff is also in a book that you can reference.
Yeah.
So it's like the goal to have that book in your brain is just kind of dumb and it'll never happen. Your goal is to have a global understanding to basically be able to quickly reference the book when you need it.
Dude, doctors?
And I feel like,
I think doctors, this is going to be really offensive to doctors. I think doctors are just basically lookup tables. Your average doctor is a lookup table. I seen this before? This is the solution to that problem. How many doctors actually are looking in books and like cross-connecting issues like Dr. House?
Probably like, in the beginning, right? When they're fresh.
Maybe.
They're really going over everything. And then like as you get older, it turns into like, oh, it's probably this.
You're just writing the same four prescriptions over and over again.
Yeah.
So Adderall, what Kevin's saying is
something for diabetes.
Ozempic.
Insulin. Heart things, statins.
Yeah. And a lot of opiates.
Mostly opiates.
I remember reading a while ago, there's some studies where it's like, if you have a rare disease, if you think you have a rare disease and it's getting hard to be diagnosed, going to a younger doctor will be more likely to get you diagnosed, because they're fresh out of med school and they have the Dr. House brain where they're like, oh, I know this one in a billion person case. Whereas like the 40-year practicing
crust.
Doctor.
The Dr. Crust.
Yeah, here's some antibiotics.
Adderall, just like, if we can get the fuck out of here.
He's like, I've never seen him. He's on that. He's fully algorithmed out, especially if they're like, a GP or something. It's just like his life experience just sends him down like a couple paths. But I think I just reference this too based on my biochem degree. I have a vague memory of everything that I learned. Like, we went in depth on DNA and all these diseases and everything. If you ask me details, it's always like hazy, being like mostly, oh, I used to know about that. But I think that's what's kind of important. You have the map in your head so that when you kind of get presented with a problem, you're like, hey, I think it kind of fits in this area. So I know where to look. I feel like that's the goal. Whereas AI just does that to the nth degree, where it's like you now have a much more powerful, basically, encyclopedia that is even easier to access.
I feel like what makes the most sense to me is very concrete, repetitive things for AI, right? It's essentially a machine that can cross-reference a ton of the same scenario over and over and over again to like intersect and find these connections between everything. Programming, same thing over and over again. It's the same thing over and over and over again. Like, it's the same libraries. It's the same strategies. It's the same, like, best practices.
Interpreting MRI scans.
And then medical stuff. I feel like the medical industry is probably something where AI will provide when it's done properly, which who knows? I don't really know where it is at this point, will be like miraculous.
I just like for in terms of, yeah, like MRI scans, x-rays, I just don't see how a person would ever outperform, like
no way
outperform an AI, because it's like, I can see when it's a real world thing, like there's a disease and a person, like it's going to be hard for, in some cases, for an AI to fully navigate that. But straight up just like the raw image data, it's just like, I just don't know how you would ever beat that.
I wonder if it's like a data thing, you know, because how much of your like medical history is ingestible, right? Like, how much of it is documented of like, oh yeah, you've clearly got something here. Like, is it circled? Mm. Is it like, and how do you get all this information into, you know, into the machine? Like, of all the millions or billions of cases things that have happened, is it, can you even load that information into the model for training?
No.
Like, probably not.
No, like laws, like HIPAA laws. Yeah, and then, yeah,
exactly.
Laws.
So you have stuff like that. And I don't know how it works. I don't know.
You think laws stop AI?
No, that's true.
Well, I mean, really with medical stuff, yes.
Probably.
Because it's all like secure, you know, it can't access that.
Right, right.
Unless, you know, some of these like medical reporting softwares, like, you know, when you go to a doctor's office and you sign all this paperwork and you give like this company access to your records because they're the ones who has to serve it to you. They might have some kind of clause in there.
Oh, that doesn't matter anymore. Not with AI. They just take all your data, Kevin.
I hope.
If they're going to take my data and they're going to take my job, at least make it so that it can figure out if I have cancer.
I live forever. In the future,
no, I don't live forever.
You know how you have like picture day at school?
Yeah.
It's probably going to be like MRI day.
MRI
where all the kids just shuttle through an MRI and it tells them like,
dude, once
this guy's got cancer,
they're
going to
get rid of the TSA. They're going to take the CT scanners.
Heart's going to explode.
They're just going to line everybody up and they're going to shuffle you through the you know.
Yeah.
TSA, CT scanners.
Yeah, everybody just like lays down.
Keep your arms and legs to your sides at all time. Yeah, you have to put a couple trays together.
Yeah.
I actually just spent not that long. I've been looking at so many. Wait, Kevin, you mentioned MRI machines.
Yeah.
I want to find a schematic of an MRI machine to see how it all works.
I can tell you loosely how it works. I feel like this is a great question for ChatGPT.
I don't need loosely. I need concrete with diagrams. If anyone has that, please send me.
You know,
technical
each diagram that you find is going to be like a box. They're going to be like, okay, this part right here is the image sensor. And then if you could expand that box, it's going to be 1,000 other boxes with 1,000 other bits of bullshit inside.
I could tell
like
you
the physical build.
Oh, well, you could just look at pictures of them. Like, they're just built with a bunch of modules.
They don't spin.
Kevin.
Do
no.
No. I just need to know the cold head to the liquid helium
recirculator.
How it's mounted in to the system.
Yeah.
And how that interfaces with it.
Oh, that would be easy to find.
I'm trying, man. Maybe I'm bad.
I don't know.
Why do you care about this?
No big deal.
So that's where your cryo cooler came from, an MRI?
Yeah, it's from an MRI machine.
Yeah, that's why you're making so much liquid nitrogen, man.
Dude, it is powerful. I was feeding it basically, it's kind of crazy. I fed it over 5 liters of nitrogen a minute, which isn't that fast, like of gas. And at 5 or 6 liters of nitrogen a minute, it pulled a full vacuum in the
duo. Wow. So it was like instantly liquefying.
Yeah. And it was liquefying it to the point, it pulled a full vacuum.
Yeah, it was like still,
and I was like,
it was still trying to suck, you know?
It was so, yeah, it was so thirsty.
When you're giving
and
it 5
like,
liters
damn.
A minute and she's still sucking.
Oh, God. Yeah, I because well the complicated thing is I made liquid nitrogen, but I want to make liquid helium. I want to make a ridiculous amount of liquid helium, but that's significantly more difficult
and expensive.
You know, and expensive.
There was an MRI for free. It was like scrap MRI. Somebody bought like this big army truck, and inside it was like a mobile MRI.
Like a trailer, yeah.
No, it was a truck.
Like a semi-truck trailer.
No. It was
the whole truck?
The whole truck. Like imagine like a giant, like have you seen those crazy like off-road 4x4 vehicles?
Like a Unimog?
Yeah, but like bigger. I don't know. It's like a fire truck. Basically like a fire truck, but a little bit bigger. And inside was an MRI. They didn't want it. So they're like, just come grab this if you want it. It's free. You know, whatever. So I went down a little bit of an MRI rabbit hole myself at one point.
I think you're
average. And I did the math how much helium it would cost to fill it. And it was like $65,000.
I think it could be more. It's I was watching one. It's 1,000. Yeah, it's 1,000 liters of helium.
Yeah.
And you could probably get it.
Liquid liters?
Yeah.
Do you know how fucked that is?
Yeah.
Where do you get it? That much liquid helium.
You have to keep, I think they just keep bringing in doers, and you get like 100 liter doers and you just keep bringing them in and filling it, I guess.
Wow.
And I think you could bottom out at like $40 a liter, maybe 30 something dollars a liter. So it's like, you won't get away with less than like $40,000 worth of cryogen.
Cause you can't even, if you make that yourself, you need to start with helium gas, which is like the least compressible gas.
Yeah, I have helium tanks, but they're also expensive.
Like, but it's like they don't liquefy, and so you end up with literally just
It's like 100 cubic feet in a tank, say.
I calculated it, and it's about,
which is like grams of helium.
It's about the price you can buy it at if I liquefied 100% of it. So I'm not really gaining anything.
How much helium is in the air? Like none?
Nothing.
It just goes straight up.
Nothing. Yeah, I think there's just nothing.
What if you put a really long straw up into the atmosphere?
And then sucked.
What if you fused hydrogen together?
Yeah, what if you did that?
What?
Fuse hydrogen together.
Oh, fuse. I could do that. I just make a little like a little fusion core. And
Yeah.
That's where I'll get all my helium from. That's a good idea.
I think you'd be the richest man in the world if you could do that.
Well, what do those little fusers do? They fuse... Oh, God, it's special hydrogen, right?
I have no idea,
like,
actually.
I forget. What's the hydrogen with two nucleuses called or something?
Oh, is it helium-3? Oh, hydrogen, tritium.
No, they're not fusing tritium. I don't know. They're not fusing normal hydrogen.
Talking about tritium, did I tell you that I wanted to, my dream is to make tritiated water? I don't know if that's what it's called.
What is that?
Well, you just make water, but it's...
You bubble tritium through it? Oh, no, you...
I guess it's T2O. I don't know what tritium is. I guess it's T. So it's just super heavy water. It's also super radioactive and volatile, and I think you would die making it.
Why is everything you do so dangerous?
Well, I'm not actually doing that one.
No.
I want to.
I saw something the other day that got me excited.
Deuterium is what it is.
But no, you want the heavier one, Kevin. Oh, you were just asking for deuterium. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I forgot the name, but that's the one that the hobby fusers use.
You are right. Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
How heavy is it?
It's just a bit heavier than hydrogen.
Like 20% twice. Heavier? 100% twice. Heavier?
Yeah. Well, because hydrogen's only one proton. So you had a neutron, which weighs like the same. You just double the weight.
What's this for? What do you do with it?
Oh, Kevin wants to make there's like fusers that people make.
Yeah, so then he can make helium.
Yeah, that's my source of helium.
Yeah.
I don't know enough to know if that's fucking complete bullshit or not. I think it's
not bullshit, but oh my God, I don't know. Like it would cost a lot more and it would be so slow.
Like one at a time?
Yeah, just one at a time, just like.
You should just go. I should, yeah, just go to the party store and buy. You know, I guess they sell at the party store. It's like half oxygen, half helium, or something.
Yeah, so kids don't die.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, or you know, so kids won't pass out if they just huff helium balloons.
What the fuck is?
I think it's a regulation.
They're not huffing helium. They're huffing galaxy gas.
Well, when I was a kid, we huffed party balloons at birthday parties.
Dude, you cannot stop kids from doing the dumbest shit ever. That's not solving any problems except making sad balloons.
Yeah. Only 75% is good.
That's shrinkflation. It
might actually be that. They just do it because the balloons still float. Yeah. Yeah.
They just give like a neutral density or slightly. I mean, what ratio? What's the oxygen? How much heavier is that?
I think it's like 80-20 or something. Or it could even be 50-50.
With that, I guess probably.
It's giving sad, pathetic balloons, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
You want the most buoyant balloons are the hydrogen balloon.
I had a friend who used to do weather
the vacuum
balloons,
balloon.
And he did a hydrogen balloon once. And I think it worked totally fine.
What do you mean? Oh, he breathed in hydrogen?
No, he made it a weather balloon. He filled, because like helium was.
Oh, God.
Oh, I thought
okay, no, but here, you make a weather balloon, you fill it full of hydrogen, it catches on fire. What does it do?
Kill you?
It just falls.
It's a weather balloon.
Yeah.
How would it kill you?
That's a lot of gas.
It's not going to explode.
That's what they thought about the Hindenburg.
It didn't explode. It just fucking caught on fire.
Okay, one time I lit a propane balloon on fire. It was a balloon like a foot and a half, like a big party balloon.
Just propane.
I took my lighter, like one of the long grill lighters.
Yeah.
I lit it, and my whole arm up to my elbow was covered in flame.
But did it detonate?
No.
So then it's fine.
Okay,
the Hindenburg it just fucking burned in a fireball. Like, I'm saying a fireball is okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Compared to an explosion.
Exactly. So I don't understand why they don't use hydrogen for shit like that. Because it doesn't matter. It's going to catch on fire. If it catches on fire, it's not going to detonate.
Well, you can't tell that to OSHA or the insurance company, like, oh, it's okay. They're just going to get like, you know, a couple third degree burns.
You just do it. You don't got to stand next to the balloon. How big of a fireball would a weather balloon make on the ground?
I've been wanting to do a video like this, but
really?
Yeah.
What's
like a giant weather balloon filled with oxygen and hydrogen or oxyacetylene?
Oh, fuck.
I think the, what is it? The hydraulic press channel actually did a video
did.
Like,
I don't think you want to do that.
No, but they didn't do it nearly big enough.
I don't think you want to. I watched a video on YouTube once. I still am traumatized by it if I fall asleep and my nightmares start with this. It was just, I think it was like this French channel, and they were filling a van up with bags of oxyacetylene, like trash bags.
Oh, yeah?
And they were like doing it by hand.
Oh.
And it was like filled with these bags.
Oh,
and I'm like, I was flabbergasted. I'd never seen anything so batshit crazy in my life. I think it's real. I don't think I've like, you know.
No, I believe it.
I genuinely have never been more scared for somebody before. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever said. I was like, I know, I've played with oxyacetylene in very small quantities. Like, we did the rubber glove.
Yeah.
I've done like a trash bag or sorry, a grocery bag, like smaller than a grocery bag, like a loosely inflated, not even fully inflated. And even at that amount is scary, but then to put it into bags, like 50 gallon trash bags, and then stick it in a vehicle by hand.
Oh, you don't, that.
Holy shit.
Who did that? Wait, who did that?
Dude, I don't even know. Look up, like blowing up a van with oxyacetylene.
Is it called like Experimenter VE or something?
Maybe, dude, I feel like it may have had the word experiment in it.
Because that's a French channel. I don't think he makes videos anymore.
Did he die?
Solutions from HSE?
No, because there's like an official, like a video from a company showing what happens.
Oh, yeah.
But these are just some guys.
This would have been like five, six years ago.
Wait, did King of Random do that too?
I feel like I remember that. Come on, YouTube. What are you searching Google for, you psychopath?
While you're looking for this, I gotta go pee.
This is some ChatGPT shit. ChatGPT, look for, search for, I don't know, van oxyacetylene French. See? My AI search engine could do that. Trash bag bomb?
No.
No, I don't think. I think we're going to have a hard time finding this. It was an old video. It was like they were in the middle of like a field or something. And it was like a, it was like an actual YouTube video. But it's like that. The explosions are what scare me. I think that.
But like, I found something.
When did the Hindenburg catch on fire? It was like at the mounting post, right? Or whatever they call that. It wasn't just in the air, right? Yeah, I'm not advocating for the Hindenburg. I think that was a stupid idea. But if you don't have people on it, or wait, I have another idea. What if you just put the balloon really far away from the cab? So you hang the hydrogen balloon and there's like 100 feet of cable. And so the cab, what do they call that? Do you know what that's called, Nigel? Do you know, are you a ballooner? Are you a ballooner?
A blimper? No, I don't.
Hindenburg was a blimp, right?
The tether? I don't know.
No, the cabin, the gondola. Is it gondola?
Oh.
I think they call it maybe. Gondola. So if you had like 100-foot-long cables and the gondola is hanging down below that, and then you just had parachutes. Okay, we're re-engineering. We're doing Hindenburg 2.0, Kevin. Because the future is bleak. Fuel is expensive. We need to come up with a way to stay in the air without spending more money.
Okay.
Hindenburg, hydrogen blimp. But there's like 100-foot cables dangling the gondola. So it's kind of like a hot air balloon.
Okay.
And then you have parachutes on the gondola. So if you lose the balloon, you can like explosive bolt those cables and you fall and then throw your parachutes and glide down to safety.
Wait, what are the cables for?
To keep you away from the balloon.
So you can like rappel down them?
Maybe. I've put about 30.
Okay, you have the balloon up there and then the gondola, cab down below.
It's like a testicle. Gotcha. But a bunch of people inside of it.
Yeah.
That's my idea.
Everybody has to wear a parachute.
Yeah. Or you just, the gondola has a big parachute, like one of those emergency airplane parachutes or something. Hey, what did it, how did it catch on fire? Yeah, but they would know. Was it like landing? Was it like close to the ground or flying? Yeah.
Somebody probably said, hey, we did it, boys. Let's light up our cigars.
That's a... Jesus Christ. Holy shit.
Wow.
Okay.
We don't make them like we used to, boys.
Fuck, dude. That's a lot of flammable gas. God.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay, so just no people then. Weather balloon.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? Why is it such a big no-no to do hydrogen in a weather balloon?
You know, I've never had static ignite something.
Never. Me also.
No. Yeah. Me neither.
Like,
is that a myth?
It could.
Just ground it.
No. Maybe I should make a video to find out if that's...
How do you ground a weather balloon?
Just tie a steel cable to the ground.
I think I don't really know what a weather balloon is or does.
If it builds up static, you just ground it to the ground. Am I stupid?
I only know,
am I missing something about hydrogen in a balloon, or is this your average person? Wow, YouTube is...
Can little. You explain to me more about weather balloons? The only thing I know about them is that one balloon that was shot down by the fighter jet.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. You use it to do espionage on countries.
Yeah, that's all I know.
They take an enormous balloon. Like, enormous.
It's like
balloon.
6 feet inflated on the ground, maybe 10 feet inflated on the ground.
Maybe bigger
or
than
three.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're right. We could be wrong, but I think generally the idea is as you go up in altitude, the balloon expands. So you don't fully inflate it on the ground.
No.
Partially inflate it. Why don't they just drain? Someone's done this already. I'm not, why am I even thinking? They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So you fill it up with your gas and then you put your equipment hanging from it. And you let it go.
Yeah, and it goes up into the air.
Okay.
And it just continues expanding until it pops. And so you can fly things up into space, like garlic bread and stuff like that.
Yeah, and by the time it's way up there, 100,000 feet up, it's like 30 feet, 50 feet, maybe 100 feet wide.
And it just goes...
Yeah. Turns into confetti.
And then nothing useful was accomplished, except you made a cool YouTube.
Yeah. And then your parachute to hold onto your equipment doesn't open as it's falling back down to Earth. So
and so your tungsten cube is
it's falling at terminal velocity.
4,000 kilometers a second.
So I guess one question I have too is like...
Dude, it's like half of people that send up weather balloons, like, you know, for clubs and hobbies and stuff like that.
Back.
No, no way. I would say like 50% is probably like... that's wishful thinking.
So you're really adamant.
Or the parachute doesn't open. Yeah.
I want to use hydrogen.
You want to use hydrogen, but like, what advantages does it offer over helium?
It's lighter and cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking sick.
You
when
can
it goes,
make it yourself.
When it kados. Yeah. You can piss hydrogen.
Oh, speaking of making hydrogen, Will, you know I told you about those cheap solar panels, right?
Yes.
The guy messaged me.
What did you say to him first?
I said,
you messaged him first.
I did.
What did you
say? I said, can I have these?
For free?
No. For $10 each. And he said, yeah, they probably have about 90% useful life left, and they're trailered up, ready to go.
Oh, that's so
and there's
cool.
Like
how many
what is this
39.
For?
Was Kevin sent me a posting, or I think we must have seen it at the same time. Our Facebook Marketplace.
No, I sent it to you.
Okay, it's Craigslist. A bunch of used solar panels, and they're very cheap. But the problem with solar panels is that the rest of the system is very expensive.
Yeah,
so. If you're doing something like that, that's a fucking good idea.
Yeah, making a bunch of hydrogen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you're just using the raw power and you don't need a buffer or anything.
Yeah.
Because like I feel the buffering system with the batteries and everything, that's like easily like half your cost of a solar system.
Yeah. And that's only if you're doing it off the grid.
Yeah.
If you want to tie it to the grid, then it's
I don't even
boy.
Know the complexities. Like that's a huge pain.
At least there's no hurricane like weather stuff in California. Yeah, like you don't have to get the special stuff to go on your roof.
If I was doing something that was just a waste of power, like generating a bunch of liquid nitrogen, I think this is like a perfect use for solar panels. Just like during the day, you dump all your energy into the panels.
I was thinking of that, actually.
Yeah, it's your landlord's building, though, so you don't really get any benefit for it. You guys even get sent up
well,
there?
No. We live in darkness.
I miss you, Nigel. When are you coming to California?
You gotta get your tan on. You're turning pasty.
Turning pasty? Dude, I've been pasty.
Pastier. You're reaching paste saturation.
Dude, I'll show up when...
we'll see you on the battlefield.
Oh, I'll show up.
Hey,
I'll
Nigel!
Show up.
Nigel, hi.
What's that? Is that... Fucking mustard gas! Oh shit! You brought mustard gas.
We brought oxyacetylene balloons.
You just show. You start. Yeah, I'll just show up and bring my. We'll experiment together on the battlefield.
So you want to take the solar panels?
Yeah.
They have inverters on them already?
No.
So you can just pull the DC off of them.
Yeah.
And then just drive that into. Wait, what do you want? You actually want to make?
Put them in the battery.
No, but
you just want.
I wanted to put some on the trailer and maybe the school bus.
I think that is that's half of a good idea. That's the problem with solar panels.
Yeah.
Because then what else are you gonna, then you got to do the rest of it. The rest of it's the worst part.
All the wiring.
Yeah, the wiring and the inverting and the batteries.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think, okay, what are actual
because then you uses? Know like a lithium battery is going to be like $500.
Oh yeah.
And then a lead acid battery is going to be $150, but you're going to have to replace it like every year.
Yeah, and the lithium battery is going to be nowhere near the amount of storage you need. Like $1,000 lithium battery is less storage than you need for an off the grid setup like that.
Yeah.
You need like a freaking closet full of batteries. I mean, that's what most of these off the grid setups are. Anyway.
Yeah.
Like
a power wall.
So then it's like you have to be just burning power constantly. It's like I can't think of anything right now other than maybe like pumping water. But even like we don't like.
But it's such a good deal on solar panels,
but
Will.
That's what you fucking got. You're scratching that itch.
I know.
And it gets you into more trouble.
He can deliver them.
Do you know why he's willing to sell them so cheap and deliver them?
They've been up for a month.
Because they're a fucking problem, bro.
Yeah.
This guy has a problem. He doesn't have solar panels. He has a problem.
I have a problem too, Will.
He's looking for a doctor to cut the tumor out. You are not a doctor.
But we have a big body that can hold lots of tumors on this property.
God damn it. I think the only way I could, unless there's like some farming thing, I cannot think of any justification for buying like 10 or 20 kilowatts worth of used solar panels.
I think it's only like 5,000 watts.
5,000 watts? Like, unless you have like, if you can do like EV charging, if you have like a tractor, like the tractor was electric or something and you could charge it at DC or even charge it at if your battery bank was in a vehicle.
You know what, Will?
I'm sorry for busting your balls.
You send me stuff on Facebook Marketplace all the time, and you know what I say? Hell yeah.
That's because you have a fucking problem. I send it to you to know if I should buy it or not.
I gas you up.
If you gas me up too hard, then I know to buy it. If you just sort of gas me up, I know not to buy it.
Because I can't tell if it's a meme or like you're actually going to do it sometimes.
What did I send you that was so stupid that you thought was a meme?
All the Taylor Dunns that were burned down and caught on fire.
Fuck you. Those are sick.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that
the trucks with the giant drills on them for like, you know, replacing power lines.
That
is that a meme?
The crane truck?
Yeah, the crane truck with the drill.
Crane truck would be infinitely more useful than solar panels. I think crane truck would immediately, you'd get like at least three YouTube videos out of it.
Okay.
Which wouldn't pay for it, but that's besides the point, because then you have a crane truck.
But exactly, it wouldn't pay for it. But the solar panels are so cheap, you know?
You can't even, who the fuck can watch a video about
just solar? No, Kevin, you just have to find something that the solar panels can do, like maybe electrolysis.
Yeah.
Like something that you can then turn that into a storable medium. You know what I mean? So it feels like you're saving up in some way. I don't know what you can do. If you had a liquid nitrogen generator, you could generate liquid nitrogen.
I cannot think of anything that is worth, that is like needs enough power that's worth setting up a solar system for other than full house power.
It would be easy if you just wanted like hot water. That would be easy to do. Have it run all the time.
But then, then at night you still need, but you don't use one at night. It's like I'm like made like a pool or something.
What you should do is, you should get it to, I don't know how to pronounce it, the Birkeland, whatever, the thing that shoots electricity through the air so it fixes the air. It makes, like, NO. Like, you just arc through the air.
Oh, to make nitrogen.
Make NO, and then you can
make my own nitric acid.
Produce, yeah, nitric acid. You can just keep producing it from your solar panels.
I like that idea.
I am desperately searching for a good idea to use 5 kilowatts of solar panels, and I cannot come up with anything.
Buckets of acid.
What are you gonna do with the acid?
Fertilizer. Fertilizer.
Yeah, exactly.
But what are you making acid out of? Air.
Air.
Yeah.
That's sick.
And then you pee in it to make to add the ammonia. So then it's ammonium nitrate.
Yeah. Just exactly.
Put a toilet seat on
urea
top of
nitrate. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you could. You just have to neutralize the acid with some sort of base. You could do it with urea. You could do it with whatever, and then you can nitrate your land. It's a pretty big project, honestly, but still.
What is this high voltage? I don't understand. How does it work?
It heats up the air and makes the nitrogen turn into nitrogen dioxide or something.
The best way to describe it, the best, easiest ways, do you know if you have a barbecue lighter?
Mm-hmm.
And so if it doesn't have any butane left and you keep snapping it and the little arc goes through the air, you can sometimes smell ozone.
Yeah.
And same as when lightning strikes, that's the smell of lightning. It's like ozone and nitrogen dioxide. So that's all you're doing. When you shoot the arc through the air, it creates a plasma, separates the N2 and the O2. And when they recombine,
ozone. Because you have all these
It's like
the ozone generator?
No, not the ozone generator. It needs to be hot to make nitrogen dioxide.
Okay.
So then it's like you make a bit of NO and ozone, but then if you, I think if it is allowed to react more and mix with oxygen, it quickly becomes NO2. And then you just have to, I think you can probably get a catalyst to put that through or something to get it to NO3. I actually don't know that step. I know some people bubble it into peroxide, but that's not like, you know, high throughput.
I thought you could just bubble it into water.
That will make nitrous. Like, you have to oxidize it further, I thought.
Okay.
I haven't looked deeply into it, but I thought you need some sort of, like, water with a catalyst if you want to get it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on Science Madness.
I haven't looked into it deeply, but there is a way. That's actually how nitric acid was first produced. But it's not very efficient. But it's cool.
5 kilowatts is quite a bit of power.
Yeah.
With a microwave, 1 kilowatt.
Yeah.
1.5 kilowatts. I feel like the setup for 5 kilowatts would be pretty robust.
That's a lot of power, too, blast in the air.
It's a manageable amount of power, but what I'm trying to say is the cost of setting up a 5 kilowatt system,
yeah,
might be pretty big, because that's a lot of power you're trying to, you know, it's electronics are like absolutely not linear scale with power. Like, there's a threshold, the more power you have, the more exponentially expensive.
Then it's like some commercial system. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're not talking 50 kilowatts, but
you don't need to do 5 kilowatts. I think that
5 kilowatts is within the realm where you can just buy something on Amazon.
You think so?
Yeah.
To generate?
To
fertilizer?
I mean, to at least, like, you know, store the power in a battery or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but then what are you doing with the power?
It would be easy to make a high voltage transformer from just the DC coming in.
You literally just burn electricity with the Tesla coil.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
No, but now you're trying to save money.
You just take the DC and you turn it on and off.
No,
really
what I'm
fast.
Saying is you're buying the solar panel so you can have free electricity while simultaneously not giving a shit about burning the electricity with a Tesla coil because you don't pay the fucking power company.
It's been a while. I should probably pay them.
They're going to shut your power off. Kevin's power bills are like $800 because he pays every 6 months.
Oh, no.
It won't let me save my card. You know?
That's their problem.
It's their fault.
No, it's my problem because then they charge. No, I don't. Yeah, they charge me like a late fee, but it's $20.
Okay, so you have 5 kilowatts of solar panels. You need to just waste the power, but you want to do something useful with it.
Yeah.
So you make fertilizer. How much does, what scale of mechanics are we talking about to burn 5 kilowatts of electricity during the day?
Well, you need a big tube to get all the gas, and you have to pump the gas through water or peroxide something.
Sorry. Kevin, it does say you just put NO2 into water.
Okay.
And it turns into nitric acid. But apparently.
And then once the water is saturated, you add some base to it and it's fertilizer.
And base is?
Oh, just like sodium hydroxide.
Okay, where did the base come
baking
from?
Soda.
You could do like potassium.
Potassium would be good too, right? Because then you have your
potassium carbonate,
or
you do ammonium.
But what's like phosphate? Some kind of basic phosphate. So then you have the N and
ammonium
the
ammonium phosphate maybe?
And the K. Yeah, potassium. You could add it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Just bananas. There's some bananas in there.
Yeah, bones.
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 Wait a second. We can make bones disappear?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great for farming.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
I figured out how to turn farming into a very profitable business. I'm not sure where we advertise our services.
Never been done before.
You have bones you need to make away? Come on down! What was the America slogan? Give us your hungry, give us your poor, give us your this, and we're over here just like, give us your bones.
Give us your bones. It's like a cremation, but
with acid and fertilizer, and all of a sudden they can't figure out who did the crime. Anyways, you can send an email to make these bones go away at gmail.com. Someone will reply in 24 hours.
Oh, no. Anyway, I've got these solar panels on the back burner.
Speaking of shit that I want.
Okay.
That I don't want to say I need this, but I have a feeling that used car prices are going to go up starting probably immediately. I can't imagine why. I want a fucking truck, bro. And
yeah,
I don't want a big ball, small dick truck.
Used trucks are insanely expensive. They're like the same price as a new truck, basically.
It's psychotic. I cannot believe people pay like almost $100,000 for these big bad boy.
Oh,
like,
yeah. That's
it. Makes no sense to me how that's affordable.
I don't know how it's legal to sell vehicles this big unless they're being used for actual industrial use. Like, imagine if the truck, you know, the cold war of trucks that's happening right now scales up to like semi trucks. Like, imagine your neighbor driving like a semi truck around because he wants the biggest truck. I want trucks for dudes with huge dicks. I want a small truck.
You know how Brent from Zero Gordo Mines, he has got that, he's got like that 6x6 truck, like that old army truck.
Yeah. That's sick.
They should have.
But nobody wants that because you have to actually be cool to have a truck like that. Everyone just buys these pavement princesses.
I bet if Ford made one,
A small truck?
Like the F4000, people would want it.
They do.
Oh, like the F650?
People buy that shit and they don't use it for anything like work related. It's just a dick measuring contest. I want a small truck. And I saw a truck the other day all over YouTube. The marketing worked on me. Called the Tello.
Okay.
And John, pull a picture of it up. It is the dumbest little thing I've ever seen in my life. And I want to see it. I want to see one. And I think I want one. I think this is exactly what I want. It looks like
it's like a Kai truck.
Yes. You seeing this, Nigel?
Mm-hmm.
It is like 3 feet long, I think.
Wait. Wait, what?
3 feet wide.
It's the size of like a 2-door Mini Cooper.
Oh, yeah, look at that. The wheels are right up front.
Yeah.
So there's no huge, like,
there's
engine
no crumple
compartment.
Zone. It's just your bones. And then it can fit an 8-foot piece of plywood and 5 passengers, but not at the same time, which to me is the most amazing compromise ever. I don't need a vehicle that can hold 5 people all the time. And I don't need a truck that can hold an 8-foot piece of plywood.
Oh, my
all
God.
The time.
It's the size of a Mini Cooper.
Yes, a 2-door. The 2-door Mini Cooper. So you can fold the bed. Dude, okay. America, we're so cooked. For a whole bunch of reasons. But the big one that has been pissing me off for a long time is this weird EPA truck war where the government and it's all its infinite wisdom decided that big trucks were bad. Okay, great. And so they I don't know, what the hell did they do? They decided emissions were bad. I mean, that is bad. That is
like
infinite wisdom.
Like a tax thing, something. I don't know if that's tied to emissions or what.
I think the general consensus, as far as I understand it, is regulations got stricter, but they were less strict on industrial vehicles.
Yeah.
Which opened the door for trucks becoming industrial vehicles.
Yeah, which are classified by weight. So like the industrial vehicle is like, if it weighs more than this, it's commercial industrial.
So you basically created a war or this incentive that pushed trucks to become bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Which was great because it worked on your average American construction brain man who's, you know, site manager, the foreman was driving around a big truck, and then people sort of symbolized
fuel
that as
economy
success.
Standards are more lenient for larger trucks compared to smaller vehicles.
Why?
So now it's like you have an inherently like less fuel efficient vehicle.
You have more less fuel efficient vehicles. That is insane.
Isn't that funny that the regulation like ended up like
it's fucking brain damage and they've just never fixed
totally
it.
Totally backfired.
And you know, like all of these tiny trucks from the 90s and early 2000s, like the Ford Ranger, the Toyota Tacoma, they're still kicking because people want these like actual utility, like small utility vehicles. And this thing, this Tello, like I don't really understand what they're doing because like, are they losing the incentive? It's the size of a small car. And you can fit a piece of plywood in it.
Yeah.
Why can't we have...
I can't even fit a full piece of plywood in my truck.
You can't.
It's still, even with the tailgate down, it still hangs out like a foot.
And how often do you put people in the back seats?
A lot, but I don't have plywood and people at the same time.
Is 90% of the time you got people in the back seat? 10% of the time you got people in the back seats?
I don't know. I would say...
Dude, it's like once, like a couple times. It's like less than once a month.
Yeah.
So imagine...
I don't know.
90% of the time you're driving your car around with nobody in the back. and no plywood. Yeah. And then when you need plywood, you can't fit it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's never at the same time. So
now imagine you have this tiny truck, which I swear to God, there's a mark. I think people want this. I want this. A small truck. It's an EV. The tires stick out the front. So if you hit somebody, they're getting chewed up. They're getting sucked up into the tires. Like, get out of my way.
Yeah. I am skeptical about this. You know, I don't think that there really is a small truck market in the United States.
I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid.
I've been wanting one for a while.
I'm afraid, Kevin.
And I can't find one.
A small truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about this? It doesn't exist yet, and you can't buy it right now, but you can put a down payment down.
Yeah, but when I bought my truck, I was looking for smaller trucks. I came to the same conclusion as you. They just don't really make them.
20, at least.
Because of like regulation stuff. Yeah. And they're all too old. I didn't want a super old truck.
200,000 miles.
Yeah.
Nigel, what do you think?
I think it's cool. I was going to say that electric is, you know, definitely adds a factor to it. But my dad, ever since I can remember, he would always buy Dodge Caravans.
And you'd always buy like,
yeah, like 10-year-old Dodge Caravans. Dude, those are good. He'd get them for like $2,000. And the abuse that he puts them through and they survive.
It's not a truck, though.
It's basically a truck with a closed bed.
I know exactly what it is. It's my Ford Taurus station wagon. It's not a truck.
Oh, a caravan, a minivan. I thought you meant like one of the actual like utility vans.
No.
Oh, okay. Caravan.
But you take all the seats out and everything. You just put like a sheet of plywood down in the back and you basically have like a little truck.
Had one of those.
Dude, they're great.
Yep.
It's not a truck.
The old one, like from the 90s.
It's just accepted.
If you can't
fill
the back with gravel and compost, it's not a truck.
You can. Yep, you'll just smell the compost.
You can't
on your
fill the back of your minivan with compost, Nigel.
Dude,
Straight up,
cut the back of the car off.
Then it's not, you lose all strength.
Do what Simone did and just remove the back of the car and just turn it into a truck.
Are these Tellos good off-road?
I have no fucking idea. All I know is that they're small. It's a small truck. You know, this is the only small truck.
It's probably inherently pretty good if it's small.
Yeah. That Tello looks pretty cool.
No, that's not off-road. That's snowy road.
When's the last time you saw a truck this small?
I want to see it in sand.
New. Who the fuck sells trucks this small? Does anyone sell a small truck?
The Tello truck looks like something made for Lego. Like, it looks like a Lego car.
I think we talked about this before, but even like the Toyota Tundra is huge now.
This is like the only truck I've seen that's small.
That's actually really cool. Now that I'm seeing, like,
these are the founders we were talking about.
Oh shit! I'm so sorry. I meant blue.
You have
cheese,
a beautiful family.
Ranch. I changed my answer to blue cheese.
Those are the people who founded the company.
I thought it was just a marketing photo, like marketing it towards, you know, rich
the
looking white people.
Oh. I have had this intrusive thought the past couple of years about like, what if I built my own, like converted my own electric truck, like buy an old truck or buy a Kai truck and convert it to electric, or even like the idea. I mean, there's no way I don't have maybe at one point, maybe in my life in the future, I don't have the ability to do like a startup for a truck. I mean, Jesus Christ, the varieties of experience you need to build something like this is quite wide. I think these guys probably came out of an EV company is my guess.
Yeah.
And like the fact that I've had the thought of like building my own electric truck. I don't know. I hope that this works.
How much is it? How much does it cost?
I think I looked up the base model was like 40,000, but that's short range, and two wheel drive. They have like a 4-wheel drive and a long range version. And that's probably, my guess is like between 50 and 60 for like the maxed out. And that's also, you know, I say it's kind of, I don't know, it's vaporware at this point because you can't actually buy them. You can put a down payment down. They have real trucks that people have been driving in videos, but you know how that works.
Yeah.
It's like until you see it and you can buy it. Like,
I think, well, yeah, here they say urban adventure vehicle. I was going to say this would be great for a city.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I want a small truck so bad. I'd be so embarrassed driving a big truck around.
Like mine?
Like yours, yeah.
No. That's why I have the windows blacked out.
Yeah, fully tinted. So nobody can see when you're about to drive through a crosswalk full of children.
Yeah, and I can't see either. Yeah. So I have some plausible deniability there.
You bought it with a tint, though. You got an excuse.
Yeah. But I didn't make any effort to take it off.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Safety Third Podcast. We appreciate your ears.
And your money.
And your money. That's right. We love money. We spend money on things like solar panels and fertilizer and GovDeal electrical power pole installation cranes and augers.
And we love Nigel. We didn't cut him off.
Did we cut you off less this time, Nigel?
A few times.
Maybe.
He's even afraid to say anything because he thinks we're going to interrupt him.
All right, guys. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
We love you.
I love you more.
This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.